Yashodanandana Raja Janaranjana Yashodanandana Raja Janaranjana Ramuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Sati Jana Vadhava Giri Vada Jari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Ramuna Tiravana Chari Ramuna Tiravana Chari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pari Vijakacharya Asatutta Sarashi Shimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pariva Jagacharya Asatutsa Sarashishi Madhvakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavindi Ki Jai Namacharya Salahoidas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sakon Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivindi Ki Jai Sisi Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Shri Govardhan ki jai, Sri Vrindavan dham ki jai, Mayapur Navadvip dham ki jai, Jagannath Puri dham ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Go Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sisi Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya. Today we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 21 The Opulences and Sweetness of Krishna Text 38-53 Esa manya triya dishvara suna arta ara Jagat karna tina purusha avatara Esa manya triya dishvara suna arta ara Jagat karna tina purusha avatara E samanya tina purusha avatara E samanya tina purusha avatara Jagatana Tina Parusha Avatara Esamanya Tidishvarera Shuna Arta Ara Jagatana Tina Parusha Avatara
Yeah.
Esamanya priyadi svarara sona arta ara Jagat karana kina purusha avatara Esamanya priyadi svarara sona arta ara Jagatana kina parusa avatara esamanaya. This is a general description.
Tree Adi Ishvarera.
Of the master of the three worlds.
Shuna.
Please hear.
Artha.
Meaning. Ara.
Another.
Jagat Karana, the cause of the material creation. Tina,
three.
Purusha Avatara,
Purusha
incarnations of Vishnu. Translation. This is only a general description. Please try to understand another meaning of Triadisha. The three Purusha incarnations of Vishnu are the original cause of the material creation. Kind of a strange place to start. This is a general description, but there's no information about what that general description is. So in order to understand what Lord Chaitanya is talking about, we're going to go back a few verses. A lot of the times what happens in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the way the book is written, is that there'll be a conversation or a lila or statements by the speaker. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami refers to another shastra as a reference to prove the point or support the point that's being made in the text or the lila in the pastimes. So in this particular chapter, he's explaining to Sanatana Goswami, as we said the name of the chapter, the opulence and sweetness of Krishna. And first of all, he's describing the opulence. As he's describing these opulences, as you'll see later on as the chapter progresses, he starts to get more and more absorbed in that mood and blends in the sweetness. A lot of the times, opulence and sweetness, it's an interesting blend. There are a lot of different ways that opulence and sweetness, opulence manifests, not all the time sweetness. Sweetness kind of conveys a more soft element than a lot of opulence. So as he progresses, and especially in today's texts, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami were the two principal personalities that had vented with Lord Chaitanya and spread his movement according to his desires. The Supreme Lord advented into this material world with a very specific mission. And in order to execute and expand and propagate that mission, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami are his principal associates and disciples. So he spent 2 months with Sanatana Goswami in Varanasi. Then Sanatana also spent some time with him in Puri, and he spent time with Rupa Goswami in Allahabad, only 10 days. But then Rupa Goswami also visited him again in Puri. So they spent personal time with him, and he explained to them and instructed them that you go to Vrindavan, which at that time, 500 years ago, was not populated the way it is today with temples and puja and all kinds of wonderful Krishna bhakti. It was rather desolate. It was just a little village 4,500 years after Krishna's appearance, and it had pretty much died out in the bhakti realm. So he wanted them to go there and reestablish the culture of Krishna bhakti, to establish deity worship, and to write books according to the instructions they had received from him. And it's very specific. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, same person. Vedaishtasavaraham eva vedya vedanta krid vedavid eva chaham. That I am the compiler of the Vedas, and I know the Vedas. I know what they mean. So out of all the Vedic information, Lord Chaitanya is instructing Rupa and Sanatan very specifically in what part of the Vedas, what type of bhakti, what practices to attain that bhakti are to be manifested in his movement. And we today, 500 years later, are very much recipients of that information. Today, fortunately, we have an opportunity to go into one of those very nectarine flowers with a lot of nectar in it, so we'll continue. So if you could help me really lean on them, put up my PowerPoint. We're going back now. The verse today was chapter 30, text 38. But back in text 33, Lord Chaitanya quoted Uddhava as he's explaining the opulences of Krishna. When Uddhava met Vidura, he became stunned in ecstasy as he remembered Lord Krishna, and he spoke this verse. Svayam tva samyata shishyas triyadishaha sa svaraja lakshmiapta samasta kama valim harabdhischira lokapalai kerita koditita parapita. And I've highlighted triyadisha because that was also in our verse today. Next slide. So, this Madhyalila, chapter 21, text 33, is a quote from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:2:21, Uddhava speaking, but Srila Prabhupada translated them quite differently according to the need of the texts in which the book manifests. So, in this particular conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Sanatana Goswami, he explained, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the master of the three worlds and the three principal demigods, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. No one is equal to or greater than him. By his spiritual potency known as Svaraja Lakshmi, all his desires are fulfilled. While offering their dues and presentations and worship, the predominating deities of all the planets touch the lotus feet of the Lord with their helmets. Thus they offer prayers to the Lord. Purport quotation from verse 21 of the second chapter, third canto. The actual verse, which is a little more clear in its own way, Lord Sri Krishna is the Lord of all kinds of threes, and he is independently supreme by achievement of all kinds of fortune. He is worshipped by the eternal maintainers of the creation, who offer him paraphernalia of worship by touching their millions of helmets to his feet. Again, speaking about the opulences of Krishna. Next slide, please, Rohini. So this word, triyadisha, in that verse, 33, talks about the three types. Tri means three. Adi, the first or the origin, and Ishvara means the controller. So he is the origin of three different types in this particular circumstance, controlling. One, the master of three places, namely Goloka Vrindavan, Vaikuntha, and the material world. Or Triyadisha can mean the master of Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Shirodakshaya Vishnu. Or, Triyadisha can mean the master of Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshvara. Or, Triyadisha can mean the master of the three worlds, the higher, lower, and middle planetary systems. So this was just the word-for-word translation of that particular verse that Uddhava spoke. Then, he goes on, leading up to the verse today, with texts 34 through 37. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is the greatest of all. No one is equal to him, nor is anyone greater than him. Krishna, known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. That's the Brahma Samhita verse, Svaraha Paramaha Krishna. The predominating deities of this material creation are Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu. Nonetheless, they simply carry out the orders of Lord Krishna, who is the master of them all. Lord Brahma said, following the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I create. Lord Shiva destroys, and he himself in the form of Shirodaksha Vishnu maintains all the affairs of material nature. Thus, the supreme controller of the three modes of material nature is Lord Vishnu. So point number one, no one is greater than or equal to Krishna. Now, today's verse. So that was an introduction to bring us to why he said this is a general description. He's talking about those three different types of controllers, and that's a general description, that he's no one's greater than or equal to Krishna as a general. Then he's going to go into the different three. So today's verse, this is only a general description. Please try to understand another meaning of Triadisha. The three Purusha incarnations of Vishnu are the original cause of the material creation. Next, 39 through 42. Mahavishnu, Padmanabha, what's another name for Padmanabha? Garbhadaksha Vishnu, thank you. And Shirodaksha Vishnu are the super souls of all subtle and gross existences. Although Mahavishnu, Padmanabha, and Shirodaksha Vishnu are all shelters and controllers of the entire universe, they are nonetheless but plenary portions and portions of plenary portions of Krishna. Therefore, he is the original personality of Godhead. The Brahmas and other lords of the mundane world appear from the pores of Mahavishnu and remain alive for the duration of his one exhalation. I adore the primeval lord, Govinda, of whom Mahavishnu is a portion of a plenary portion, also from Brahma Samhita. Then Lord Chaitanya explained, this is the middle meaning. Now please hear the confidential meaning of Triadisha. Lord Krishna has three places of residence, which are well known from the revealed scriptures. So point two, the middle meaning, was that the three Purusha incarnations are plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of Krishna. What was point one? Thank you. And part two, so no one's greater than or equal to Krishna. And then he's proving it, going to the next point, that even these three that control the entire place and manifest the entire material creation are but portions of plenary portions of Krishna. So in this way, he's supporting who is Krishna, the most opulent supreme controller. So now we'll go back to the texts in the book from 43 to 53. So I'm just going to read the English because I find for me, the Bengali kind of takes my mind away from the flow of thought because I'm an English speaking person. So 43 through 53. And this is the point that I was talking about. He's introduced it by saying in the previous verse, now listen to the confidential meaning of Triadisha. And he's sticking his nose into the flower. The internal abode is called Goloka Vrindavan. It is there that Lord Krishna's personal friends, associates, father, and mother live. Vrindavan is the storehouse of Krishna's mercy and the sweet opulence of conjugal love. That is where the spiritual energy, working as a maidservant, exhibits the rasa dance, the quintessence of all pastimes. So, Lord Chaitanya's teachings are unlike any other avatar, any other sampradaya. He's come with a very specific flavor of love that he's benedicting this Kali Yuga wave, and this is where it takes place. So Sanatana and Rupa and the other Goswamis and followers of Lord Chaitanya have all glorified and expanded on this seed and helped it grow so that people around the world understand the glories of Vrindavan. Vrindavan Dham is very soft, and due to the mercy of the Supreme Lord, Vrindavan Dham is very soft due to the mercy of the Supreme Lord, and it is especially opulent due to conjugal love. The transcendental glories of the son of Maharaj Nanda are exhibited here. Under the circumstances, not the least anxiety is awakened within us. Below Vrindavan planet is the spiritual sky, which is known as Vishnu Loka. In Vishnu Loka, there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets controlled by Narayan and other innumerable expansions of Krishna. The spiritual sky, which is full in all six opulences, is the interim residence of Lord Krishna. It is there that an unlimited number of forms of Krishna enjoy their pastimes. Innumerable Vaikuntha planets, which are just like different rooms of a treasure house, are all there, filled with all opulences. Those unlimited planets house the Lord's eternal associates, who are also enriched with six opulences. So this is the brief description, general description of Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, in each of the unlimited planets, there is a predominating expansion of Krishna in the form of Lord Narayan, who accepts the worship of all the devotees or living entities on that planet. And in each one of the planets, in unlimited space, there's different moods and different ways of worship, different forms, just like we know Das Avatar. There's Matsya, Korma, Varaha, Nrsimha, Vamana, Parasaram, Ram. So in each one of those planets where those incarnations predominate as the predominating deity of that planet, the devotees of that planet worship that incarnation in that mood. Quotation from Brahma Samhita. Why don't we all read this one together? 49? Show the Sanskrit, okay? Thank you. Read this together. Goloka namni jagami chaveta tasya Devi Mahesha Haridama Shute Shuteshu Te Te Prabhada Nityayadi Chastayena Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Vajrami. Translation. Below the planet named Goloka Vrindavan are the planets known as Devi Dham, Mahesh Dham, and Hari Dham. These are opulent in different ways. They are managed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda, the original Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Brahma Samhita 543. Between the spiritual and material worlds is a body of water known as the river Viraja. This water is generated from the bodily perspiration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Vedanga. Thus, the river flows. So you have the spiritual world, the material world, and the river in between. That was a quote from Padma Purana. Beyond the river Viraja is a spiritual nature, which is indestructible, eternal, inexhaustible, and unlimited. It is the supreme abode, consisting of three-fourths of the Lord's opulences. It is known as Paravyoma, the spiritual sky. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the spiritual sky, there is neither anxiety nor fear. It is eternally existing, and it consists of three-fourths of the Lord's energy. The material world is an exhibition of only one-fourth of the Lord's energy. Therefore, it is called Ekapad Vibhuti. 52. On the other side of the river Viraja is the eternal abode. The external abode, which is full of unlimited universes, each containing unlimited atmospheres. The abode of the external energy is called Devidam, and its inhabitants are conditioned souls. It is there that the material energy Durga resides with many opulent maidservants. Purport. Because he wants to enjoy the material energy, the conditioned soul is allowed to reside in Devidam, the external energy, where the goddess Durga carries out the orders of the Supreme Lord as his maidservant. The material energy is called Jagat Lakshmi, because she protects the bewildered conditioned souls. The goddess Durga is therefore known as the mother, and Lord Shiva, her husband, is known as the father. Lord Shiva and goddess Durga are therefore known as the material father and mother. Goddess Durga is so named because this material world is like a big fort where the conditioned souls are placed under her care for material facilities. The conditioned soul tries to please the goddess Durga, and Mother Durga supplies all kinds of material facilities. Because of this, the conditioned souls are allured and do not wish to leave that external energy. Consequently, they are continuously making plans to live here peacefully and happily. Such is the material world. Om Gyana Tinaram Dasya Vinandana Savakaya Chakshurun Navitam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So this is the basic instructions that Lord Chaitanya gave to Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami, in order to follow those instructions, remember, they were government ministers. They were not just Babaji's who lived under trees and didn't do very much. Imagine how expert they were that to go to an empty hamlet 500 years ago with hardly anybody living there, and somehow or another today what's there is incredible. Over 500 years, all due to their work. They established Radha Govinda and Radha Madan Mohan. They established the different places where Krishna had performed all these pastimes. Many of us have been to a lot of those places. Keshigat, Vamsivat, so many places. They both also wrote books. So specifically on this topic of Goloka Vrindavan, being the topmost abode in the spiritual sky, and the type of love, the flavor of love, the intimate exchanges of the residents of that abode with the Supreme Lord was very much emphasized by Lord Chaitanya. That the original personality of Godhead is two-armed, he plays a flute, and he has specific qualities. So, next slide on my PowerPoint. So, as a representative of Lord Chaitanya, 500 years later, Srila Prabhupada's New Delhi covers of the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is what he decided to bring with him. Of all the things he could have brought with him, he talked to Sally Agarwal. What did he walk into the house with? He showed up with his books and a bag of cereal and a cane and rubber shoes. An umbrella. So, he brought those books with him, and this particular image, which we're all very familiar with, is the essence of what Lord Chaitanya taught. There's the big lotus flower, that's Goloka Vrindavan. There's the different planets, the Vaikuntha planets, surrounding the spiritual sky, which we just described in brief. And then there's that little Mahatattva down under the lotus flower, which is the material world, with Karna Dakshai Vishnu, Garbo Dakshai Vishnu, and Shiro Dakshai Vishnu. We know all this because of what? Because Lord Chaitanya taught it to Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami and their followers and their followers and their followers. Otherwise, who can possibly figure out what's going on outside our purview? They're still trying to go to the moon. They spend millions and billions and trillions of dollars to go into outer space to try and find out what's in one little universe. They have no idea what's beyond it. The only way that we can understand these things is to be told by someone who's outside of it. And that's the whole parampara system. So, Sanatana Goswami, just like Rupa Goswami, sitting under the trees in Vrindavan with palm leaf paper that, who knows where it came from, disciples used to make it, and ink that was naturally gathered from the different plants in the forest, and pens that were of the same, wrote a book describing specifically this Goloka Vrindavan concept and its glories. Brihad Bhagavatamrita, part 2. What a genius! The way the book opens, this particular section of it, is that Maharaj Parikit, of course we all know he was cursed to die in 7 days. So he went down to the banks of the Jamuna, the Ganges, and he sat there, and all kinds of people, sages and rishis and demigods and all kinds of people came there. The emperor of the world's going to die in 7 days. Something has got to happen. So they were all sitting there, and then we read in the first canto how Sukadeva Goswami arrived, and just by seeing him, everyone understood that this person should speak. And Maharaj Parikit asked him, "I have 7 days to live. What should I do? What is the best thing? How can I spend my time most wisely?" And of course, Sukadeva Goswami spoke to him the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. According to Brihat Bhagavatamrita, he was then going to fast until death after hearing from Sukadeva Goswami. But from the back, one lady started walking towards him. She was way in the back. And she walked very slowly. She came up. She paid her obeisances. She said, "My dear son," it was his mother, Uttara, "I was in the back. I'm a woman. I can't understand all the details that were spoken to you. Please, explain to me the essence of what he's spoken to you." And Maharaj Parikit became, all his hair stood on end. He became choked up and he said, "Oh, Mata, I was planning to fast and do Mona and meditate before death, but the nature of your question is so sweet that I want to speak to you what my guru had said." Next slide. So, Sanatana Goswami, Brihat Bhagavatamrita, part 2, Goloka Mahatmya, the glories of Goloka by Sanatana Goswami. You can just read up there if you can read it. I'll go along here. So, Mother Uttara, wishing to hear of, 1, the result of the great devotion to Lord Gopikanta, and 2, the Lord's pastime place above Vaikuntha, and not fully understanding them in her heart, Mother Uttara asked Sri Parikit, "The 3 worlds are abodes for materialistic householders who perform pious deeds. Above them are 4 worlds that are abodes for they who are not householders." Note by Sanatana Goswami explains that the 3 worlds are Bhuvaha and Sva planets. Householders here wish to enjoy the fruits of their work. Householders that have no material desires by performing prescribed duties may go to Maharloka or other higher planets, and when their hearts are pure, may become liberated. This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam 4:24-29. Persons who are not householders are the Naishika Brahmacharis, Vanaprasths, and Sannyas. The 4 realms they attain are Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka. The ultimate fate of these renounced souls is described in Srimad Bhagavatam 2:6-20. Next. Mother Uttara continued, "When their enjoyments are ended, they all return. Some who go to Maharloka and other higher planets become liberated with Lord Brahma. Some, after enjoying in Archiyaloka and other planets, attain liberation. The renounced souls devoted to transcendental knowledge attain liberation at once." Sanatana Goswami explains that Archi is a demigod of fire, and the other planets here are the planets in the Shishumara circle. This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.24 through 31. So Sanatana Goswami is creating this pattern, this tapestry, where he's explaining that according to one's eligibility, just like in this material world, and karma, you get a body according to your past deeds, according to the quality of your work, according to your bank balance of what you've done in the past, you get a result. Well, that also happens as we progress beyond this body, up and down in this material world. And he's just and Mother Uttara is explaining the basics of these different places where people go according to their desires. Text 13. The Lord's devotees that have material desires enjoy according to their own desires, and when they become purified, they also attain that abode, which means the Sishumara circle. The devotees that have no material desires at once attain the blissful spiritual realm of Vaikuntha, which even liberated souls cannot attain. Liberated souls meaning those that enter into the Brahman. They don't attain a planet. Aruri kachchena param param tata. They go into the Brahmana fold and stay there for millions of years and then have to fall down again because they don't have any association. 15. Eternally, and in many ways, many different ways, experiencing there the happiness of direct service to Lord Krishna's lotus feet, a happiness that eclipses impersonal liberation, they feel great bliss. So as we read, this is only the question at the beginning of the book. So as you read the book, each one of these things is described, and Sanatana Goswami very clearly describes the abode of Vaikuntha. What goes on there? What are the residents like? What, and every one of them, because each individual soul has a eternal swarup, an eternal nature, just like a seed has its nature. You put a seed in the ground and what's inside will come out. Nityasira Krishna Prema, Sajjikabu Noi, Shravanada Sudachitti Karaya Udoi. It's lying within the heart, deep within the conditioned soul, within the soul. Some, those that are liberated, they are who they are. We're trying to find out who we are. We have that within us, and by following this process of bhakti yoga, it's gradually manifesting. Shravanada Sudachitti means hearing from a pure source. If you hear from the proper person, it acts like water and sunlight on a seed. It germinates it, makes it come up and out. So every single living entity in Vaikuntha, wherever they're situated eternally, is completely satisfied. It's not that the residents of Vamana Loka are desiring to go to Goloka Vrindavan, thinking, oh, the gopis have the best opportunity, I want to be a gopi. No, that never even comes into their realm of thinking. They may appreciate their service and their relationship with the Lord, but they're completely, just like Ram. And actually, he shows it in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. What happens is that, I think it's in the first part, Narada Muni comes to Hanuman, and he's speaking with Hanuman, searching for the mercy, the devotees who have the mercy of the Lord. And they start talking about, Hanuman says, well, I have some mercy, but actually the Pandavas, my brother Bhima, he has much more mercy from Lord Krishna than I ever had from Lord Ram. They're personal associates. They associate intimately with him. So let's go see him. And they start to get ready, and Narada is all enthused, and he goes up into the sky, ready to fly, and then Hanuman changes his mood, and he says, actually, I would create an offense if I go there. I'll stay here and I'll simply worship Lord Ram. So he's satisfied. It's an example shown in the book. Oh, that's there. Next slide. So, here are the different types of devotees in their different abodes, spoken by Uttara. Some devotees are situated in knowledge, Gyan Bhaktis. Some are pure devotees, Sudha Bhaktis. Some are devotees situated in love, Prema Bhaktis. Some are devotees situated in great love, Premapara Bhaktis. And some are overwhelmed by love, Prematura Bhaktis. Sanatana Goswami explains that here, 4.5 kinds of love are described, with the Gyan Bhaktas as the half. The devotion of the Gyan Bhaktas is mixed with the desire for knowledge. The knowledge here is not the pathetic liberation of the impersonalists, but rather the awareness of the glories of serving the Lord's lotus feet. Maharaj Bharat is an example of a Gyan Bhakta. The Sudha Bhaktas are devoted to the 9 processes of devotional service. Their devotion is not distracted by fruitive work, desire for knowledge, or non-devotional renunciation. Maharaj Ambarish is an example of a Sudha Bhaktas. The Prema Bhaktas want only to serve the Lord's lotus feet with love. Hanuman is an example of the Prema Bhaktas. The Premapara Bhaktas are the Lord's affectionate devotees who, by the Lord's boundless mercy, are tied by the chains of affectionately gazing at the Lord. Gazing at the Lord with longings of love, friendship with the Lord, close relationship where they joke with the Lord. The Pandavas are examples of Premapara Bhaktas. The Prematura Bhaktas are always overwhelmed by the treasure of wonderful love. Uddhava and the Yadavas are examples of Prematura Bhaktas. Although Vaikuntha cannot be attained without love for the Lord, there are varying degrees of that love. Thus, the Prema Bhaktas are better than the Sudha Bhaktas, the Premapara Bhaktas are better than the Prema Bhaktas, and the Prematura Bhaktas are better than the Premapara Bhaktas. So, understanding these things, Mother Uttara asked, these different kinds of devotees do not attain the same results. Still, in Vaikuntha, one is not considered better than the others. Swarupya Mukti, Samipya Mukti, and the other kinds of liberation are also equal. What place is better than Vaikuntha? The Vedas do not say. Sanatana Goswami explains that Swarupya Mukti is the liberation where one attains a four-armed form like the Lord's. And Samipya Mukti is the liberation where one stays near the Lord. Mother Uttara continues, each in his own part of Vaikuntha, each according to his own kind of love, and each attaining his own object of love, everyone is happy. The devotees in the different mellows have all attained the highest happiness. Still, what is the destination of they who are devoted to the Lord who performs the Rasa Lila? My heart is not happy if others attain the same destination attained by the loving devotees who chant the holy names and who, indifferent to all material goals, yearn to become Sri Radha's maidservants. I cannot tolerate that others attain the same destination that is attained by Nanda, Yasoda, and their associates. Sanatana Goswami explains here that the others are the Pandavas and Yadavas. Imagine this question. She's saying that these people, the Yadavas, who are family members of Krishna, Uddhava, the Pandavas, who's closer? Yesterday we read the Bhagavad Gita. Everybody must have been in, even Sanjaya. I'm thrilled to hearing about this loving exchange between the Lord and his intimate friend, but Arjuna, when he saw that universal form, his mood changed. When Mother Yasoda saw the universal form, her mood didn't change. It changed a little bit for a moment. But then her maternal love dominated her appreciation for the whole universe in his mouth. So there's a difference there. And this is what the books of the Goswamis point out, that their love in Goloka Vrindavan is so intimate. Whereas outside of Vrindavan, it changes a bit. There's some element of awe and reverence due to the opulence and power of the Lord on some levels. So Mother Uttara continues, the most sublime of millions of glories rest in them as many rivers enter the ocean. They must have their own place above Vaikuntha. Please show it to me and rescue me. Sanatana Goswami explains that the word prakasya means please show it to me by describing it. and Uttarashtra means, please rescue me from this ocean of unhappiness, filled with waves of doubt and whirlpools of illusions. The description of the glories of Goloka Vrindavan, which is above the material worlds, which is not destroyed at the time of the cosmic manifestation, and which is above even the realms of Vaikuntha, is the answer to this question of Uttara Devi. So it's like unbelievable how elevated Sanatana Goswami is to be able to hear this essential instruction that we read today while he's with Lord Chaitanya at Goloka Vrindavan, and then come up with this whole beautiful rendition and epic novel of how this love develops, and then describes that love in detail once the book ends. So if you want to enter deep into this, please read Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And there's one more verse that's not on the thing, on the board, because I remembered it this morning. Eti deksva lila birananda kunde svagosham nirmajantam akya payuntam. Those super excellent pastimes of Lord Krishna's babyhood drown the inhabitants of Gokul in pools of ecstasy. To the devotees who are attracted only to his majestic aspect of Narayan and Vaikuntha, the Lord herein reveals, I'm conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. To the Supreme Lord, Damodar, my obeisance is hundreds and hundreds of times. So we're being taught, we're being given the opportunity, offered. Chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is the tool. This is the instrument that will awaken this kind of love, so that we can exchange with the Lord in such intimacy. Any questions or comments? I can read our verse again today. What was it? 28. Text 38. This is only a general description. Please try to understand another meaning of Triadisha. The Purusha incarnations of Vishnu are the original cause of the material creation. Samapriya.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, I can hear you.
While you were speaking about this whole magnificent creation, eternally created by the Lord, I wondered why the conditioned soul is such a little teeny, if you really think about the enormity and the extension of eternity, and how small and insignificant this planet is, and what to speak of the people on the planet. How is it that we give so much importance to everything that we're doing, thinking that this is like the supreme absolute? And actually, it creates such disharmony between everyone. We read yesterday in the Bhagavad Gita about the modes of nature. Are the modes of nature that strong that they keep us from reality?
Yes. First verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.1.1, describes that he is the creator of this world, which even great demigods and sages consider real, although it is not eternal. It's the nature of the coverings. When we read Srimad Bhagavatam, especially third canto, Lord Kapiladev describes very, very in detail how it's constructed. If you understand how it's constructed, what's the first cover? False ego. What's the first thing created? Time. Time and false ego. Once you go to the fort. We read about the fort, Devi Dham. Once you're in the fort, once you're in the prison, there's no, what do they say? You can never leave. But you can leave. Ultimately, that's what Lord Chaitanya came to offer. Do this, chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And where does that Maha Mantra come from? Golokera, Prema Dana.
Hare
Krishna. Hare Nama, Sankirtan. The Dan. Dan means it's a gift. Hare Golokera, Prema Dan. The Goloka Prema. Dan. Is the gift of this world. Hare Nama, Sankirtan. Oh, such a nice. Kevala Ananda Kanda. Such a nice path. Such a nice, wonderful opportunity. Yes.
Some say that Krishna of Goloka Vrindavan has nothing to do with this material realm. However, in this verse 49, it says, describing Devi Dham, Mahesh Dham, Hari Dham, which is this material plane, they are managed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the original Lord.
Mm.
How do we understand Krishna involved in our life? When I hear that,
nice.
That he has nothing to do with this material realm, it's kind of like, what is prayer? What is service? Yeah. Can you give your understanding?
Sure. There's kind of two aspects to it. One is that he's non-different from his expansions, who do manage and are involved in every aspect, every atom. It's described, Shodakshai Vishnu expands himself into every atom. So from that point of view, he's very much aware of and involved. But more intimately than that, especially in this age, and with the information we're receiving from Lord Chaitanya and his followers, commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam and the Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita states that the Lord is full in every one of the atoms. That's inconceivable to us, obviously. How can something be? But it also says that human intellect cannot understand how a three-quarters realm can fit into one quarter. How is it that Goloka Vrindavan, that Vrindavan Dham can be put into this material world and manifest so that Krishna can perform his pastimes here? He doesn't come to the material world. He's always in Goloka Vrindavan. He's always in Vrindavan. He never leaves Vrindavan. So Vrindavan manifested in this material world, although it's more expansive than the whole material jagat. So within every atom, the entire potency, this fullness, Om Purnama Dat Purnami Dham Purnat Purnamu Dachite, Purnasya Purnama Deya, Purnam Eva Vishishite, although so many emanates from him, he remains the complete balance. So his inconceivable potency is that he's right here, he's playing his flute. We don't see him because of our material coverings. He's in that painting, he's right there playing with the cows. We ascribe our material thing on top of it, but the reality is that he's in every atom doing that and can manifest him at any time. We just read in our online course about the appearance of the Lord from Devaki. And it was described that by Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur that he didn't really appear from her. He was already there. He just manifested. So he can do that anywhere, and thus, in the same way, he can manifest in our lives if we're attentive to him. Yayatam rampapadhyante tamstatara bhajanyam. If we approach him, he'll reciprocate accordingly. So if we remember him, and the more we do that, the more that we'll realize he's there, and the more he will manifest.
Thank you very, very much.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for that very engaging class. It was very systematic and cross-referencing different shastras, which I really appreciate.
Thank you.
I just had a comment on, just a thought about the opulence. With the title of this chapter, and you're talking about the opulence and sweetness. And I was just thinking, even in this material world, when someone displays or has a lot of power, whether it's knowledge or wealth or whatever it is, when it is accompanied, like absolute jnana accompanied by danya, or jnana and danya, that's a beautiful combination, or wealth and they're charitable. So these opposite qualities are very, very attractive. And we find the epitome of this in Krishna.
Yes, I think that's the point he's making in this chapter.
Yeah, so that's, and I was just thinking how Krishna is also Sarvagya and he's Mugdha at the same time. Mugdha means he gets bewildered, and Sarvagya, he's all knowledgeable.
Actually, this verse spoken by Uddhava, Rohini, can you go back to the first verse of the PowerPoint? Actually, it's the second slide. What happens is that Uddhava is saying to Vidura, Lord Sri Krishna is the Lord of all kinds of threes and is independently supreme by the achievement of all kinds of fortune. He's worshipped by the eternal maintainers of the creation who offer him paraphernalia of worship by touching their millions of helmets at his lotus feet. And then he says, in the next verses, and still he asked me to be his advisor in Dwarka. Remember when Yudhisthira got, when the Yudhisthira sent the message that we got to do this Rajasuya, but it's not clear. And he asked Uddhava, what should I do? So Uddhava was bewildered. How this person, Mukta, he's bewildered. But he's full of jnana, he's sarvajnana. He knows everything everywhere, but still he's asking me. He's Triadisha. He's the Lord of all of this, and still he's asking me. So no matter where you go, it's tasty and sweet.
And I think that's the structure of the Bhagavatam. In one way to look at it is that unless you're aware of the Aishwarya, you cannot appreciate the Madhurya at all. And therefore you have the nine cantos dealing with so much philosophy, so you can actually appreciate, wow, who is Krishna? He's all this, but he's so sweet. Because he's a person, and then no one can be more personal and sweet than Krishna. So even in this world, I mean, I think of many people who are so powerful. I mean, I'm talking about devotees who are so knowledgeable, so powerful, and yet they have such humility. And that is such an attractive quality.
Nice. Sweet, yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Inspiring.
Kind of enhancing the spice of the chapter.
Can I just say one thing, just because we were talking about Uddhava? In the Gokula Champu, and we know the story that Krishna wanted to send Uddhava to Vrindavan to rescue the Vrijvasis who were suffering due to separation from him. So the reason why he chose Uddhava was because he had sweetness and opulence.
Majesty.
Majesty. He understood the sweetness and the majesty. That was his quality. Yes, Uddhava should go because he understands those two things. Thank you.
Madamati.
Oh, there we go.
Thank you again, Prabhu, for your wonderful class. So you're mentioning about, you know, how Hanuman, you know, even though others are higher, they're all satisfied in the services they're doing. And we also understand, you know, Goloka is very difficult to attain. I was wondering, the fact that we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we have come into the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, whose, you know, Mahamantra says Gauravani Pacharina, the fact that we have you know, come in contact with Lord Chaitanya and hearing these wonderful pastimes about Radha and Krishna. Is it because, are we meant to go there? Like, not automatic, I'm not talking that, but I always wonder, like, we came into contact with Lord Chaitanya because he's come to give us the highest, which is almost laughable to think that when we want to attain that something that is so beyond, but yet the question comes to my heart, like, is that where we're supposed to be? And then that's why we have, you know, I mean, there are other sampradayas, there's
Sri Sampradaya.
Sri Sampradaya, you know, the Vallabhacharya, you know, the Pushtimar there in that whole mood. So I'm thinking, so I wanted to know what your opinion is.
Srila Prabhupada often used to say that you can judge something by its symptoms, right? If something exists, there are inherent natural qualities that it must have in order to be it. Like sugar, it must be sweet. If it's sweet, then you can understand it's sugar. If it's not sweet, it's not sugar. So in the same way, Lord Chaitanya told Rupa Goswami, Bhamande Brahmate Kone Bhagyavan Jeev, that a fortunate person comes in contact with a spiritual master and gets that seed of devotional service. And certainly anyone in this Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition and parampara has that opportunity, and most likely has been traveling in numerous bodies throughout the universe for millions of years, and finally come to the point where we're at a point where Lord Chaitanya's movement is growing, Srila Prabhupada, with so many different events had to coincide with one another for us to come in contact, each one of us, and somehow or another that happened. So that's my appreciation, is that yes, definitely. We can, that's where we're headed. Otherwise, what's going on here? Thank you. Got Mika?
In verse 53, in the verse itself, describing Devidam, it is there that the material energy, Durga, resides with many opulent maidservants. These maidservants?
Expansions, helpers, three modes of material nature. Durga Devi is here. She has all kinds of associates who bind us and work to maintain the whole place. Prison guards. Jai, thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Chaitanya Charitamrita, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sanatana Goswami.